Blog Talk Radio.
If for some reason the doors of heaven are shut, may the meditation of heart soar up and break through those doors and penetrate to the inner sanctum of the Most High to bring down forces of life, love, and liberty. Blessings and greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're meaning to stay alive right now in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercy, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness. We now tune into Blog Talk Radio, and we along, and the rooster agrees with us. We call ourselves Soul Class. We humbly assert we're the higher inner frequency of Blog Talk Radio. This happens to be a historic class, Soul Class number 700, Conversations from the Tree of Life, Part 12. Blesses our eternal creator, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family experience, that 7.6 plus billion human beings vibing out on planet Earth. This is Anti-Eugenics Radio. With creator's help, our broadcast will take place right now on August 5th, 2018. It's starting 9:30. It's now 9:32 Jamaican time, corresponding to 10:32 a.m. live from Turtle Island equals the USA equals AKA equals Unified Soul Actualization. We plan on speaking with co-host, Sealer Media prolific lecturer Jerome Sage Butler, who dwells within his spiritual, cognitive, emotional realm, coined under the Tree of Life. Butler is driven to tap into his deep ancestral wellsprings of divine source, correlating, relating, and develop a dialogue with other human souls intended to guide human dialogue towards analyzing the moral and ethical nature we as human beings are well advised to explore. Today's program content will focus on spirituality in contrast to relaxation, and can a spiritually minded human being find some time to have some fun? Also, I want to let you know that Jerome Sage just released a video a couple days ago which talks about relaxation and having fun. This is the reason why we're doing today's program. I'm inspired by those meditations, and you can learn more about Butler by befriending him on Facebook and typing in Sealer Media on YouTube.com. Our call-in number, if you're going to be listening in and tuning off your computer, will be 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones in a peaceful and pleasant manner. Without further ado, we're going to turn down the music. This is music from the Holy Land. It's called Imnalu. If there should be a closing of the gates of heaven, may things rise up through them, meaning our prayers. And this is from a group called Shiva Tzion, Back to Zion, a group of young men who have been performing for several years, and hopefully they'll have continual success in the land of Israel playing their beautiful music. Without further ado, my slightly younger brother from the blessed island of Jamaica, Jerome Sage Butler. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brother Don. Much love and blessings to you, entire family, and to our entire listening family. You know, it's good to share and to, you know, learn and increase, you know, in peace and clarity. And do that with a lot of joy in our hearts, you know. And I'm sure we'll have our path to happiness, you know. So it's beautiful. I can't complain. Just giving thanks, blessing all of Turtle Island and for all the people who are listening, you know, in African continent, you know, Asia, Europe, you know, the Americas, it's good, you know, the Caribbean, it's wonderful, you know, to share the word of peace, you know. Blessings, brother.
Amen. And I also want to congratulate you that I see recently you posted on Facebook. Blessed souls, it is a real honor to have Jerome on. He has now attracted over 10,000 active members of Sealer Media to listen in to his or to watch his videos. It's just a matter of listening to his voice. It's seeing how he shares these teachings in very, very ambient, inducing settings of sitting by a water flowing. There was one where he made a video about how to obtain a wheelchair and going through the, I would call the pirate logistics of trying to accomplish something in Jamaica. Quite frankly, Jerome Sage, I mean, what you had to do to get that wheelchair to empower a person to move about more freely is quite amazing. And for that alone, I commend you, and I humbly bless. I offer up my prayers to heaven that you should continue to influence people around the world. And I do want to just mention, it's interesting, if our listening audience right now, Jerome Sage, our current share of listening audience, we have 70% for the United States, after that followed by the country of Ghana, which is where the Akan or the Akan people, those known as Jamaican people, hail from, followed by Israel, Chile, and Norway. So we have a really eclectic group of people, plus we've added two states in America. We now have 43 out of the 50 states listening, so I want to thank you for also, I think you are part and parcel of the increase of our variety, our rich variety of listenership.
Ah, thank you, Brother Dan. Like I said, it's good to share the word, you know. I mean, there's so much minds in the world, and, you know, there's so much vices, but it's such a weird thing, you know. The spirit is seeking access points, you know, to express itself and to express the awesomeness of its joy and just its presence. So it's good, you know. And for the people who have been watching on CLM Media and have been listening Soul Class on Blog Talk Radio, really, I really do give thanks, because the issue is that, you know, the vices are the vessels, you know, as long as you're fulfilling the function like yourself, Brother Dan, then that is the truest fulfillment of life. So I'm so thankful, and it helps to keep me happy, you know. And as we, you know, allude to the topic of happiness and the essence of, you know, how it is that so much people are, you know, unable to truly be happy, because basically they have externalized all the principles of happiness. And then they say, well, you know, I'm unhappy, because basically they have rooted, firmly placed their entire emotional setting, their psyche, entirely on an external, you know, premise. Well, happiness is such an internal thing. It's such a thing that has to do with presence, and just as the word appreciation suggests, just be there to value and to seek and to take value and to add value to the experiences that you're having. And you can be relaxed enough, quiet our mind enough, our intellect, and our abilities enough, you know, we can truly have happy moments where what caused happiness wasn't because you put a series of things into alignment or thoughts or actions, but actually that your mental process was just naturally free and clear. And if you're free and clear, you're able to stay present, and a lighthearted moment won't miss you, you know. It will bring the value. And I know these things are manifested culturally, because, I mean, I live in Jamaica, and in Jamaica, as you alluded to, the parallel system, or just the way in which it is that to get things to the port system, you know, there's lots of difficulties. And on my first time doing that, I was so taken aback by it. I was so almost a little bit offended. But then as I got deeper into the realization that what we bring to a situation reflects more strongly on us than the other, especially if we are the ones that, again, that are the vices are the vessels of the spirit. So I realized, yeah, I think we're a little bit too caught up in external drives, and I've come to understand why the ports are like that. It has to do with goods and services and the notion of luxury, rather than, and I think those things all come back to the essence of what people think is happiness. So weird is that I was trying to get something through that context that just simply seemed like it was to help someone and to be of help to someone. I don't know, sometimes it's like you're caught up in the middle zone, so to speak, you know? It's a bit shocking. But then I understood, I mean, how to get back to the place where it's beautiful. But the next time I went, which was, you know, we didn't record, it was a lot more comfortable, because now I wasn't so taken aback, because I began to carry that joy in me, that happiness to say, well, if they are not in the good news, well, we can share the good news. We can take that lightheartedness with us and not carry a heaviness. And it has benefited me. And I would use that as an advice to many people who are going through so much difficult configurations in their life, that these things are seemingly sapping the joy from your experience, but sometimes you just can really approach it a little differently by not using intellect or using willpower. Actually, you can just relax and seek for the happy moments, the light-hearted moments, you know. And these things must never be taken for granted. It's not just some statement and of sounding clear. Actually, you and I know, Brother Dan, that in all our complexes of life, when a moment when you laugh until all the chakras are so aligned, your belly, your feeling, it's like it's overflowing with this vibration, that after that laughter, you're healthier, actually. So it is not something that is, I'm trying to make an intellectual point or a philosophical point and happiness or joy. It's actually that it's natural. And we have done too much unnatural things and then thinking we're naturally going to be happy. It's just out of sync. And my, you know, our offerings at Sealer Media was basically to remind people. The Spirit reminded me. So to be very honest, I as a person wasn't necessarily also as in tune with my joyful self in the last couple of months as I should have been. You know, my fiance can attest to that. So the New Spirit told me it was more for me as well, too, because I had gotten a little wound up, too. And, you know, sometimes, you know, there were cartoons, you know, her son was watching cartoon, and I was thinking, well, I could remember when I enjoyed cartoons. I remember I saw my big brother and his wife and his children watching cartoons, a very big man, and he was watching healthy cartoons, it wasn't just the scary ones, and he was happy. And I was saying to myself, I could contrast myself with my brother and realize that I was miserable. Because my mind was so uptight, I couldn't even enjoy it. But then, you know, I realized, you know, Brother Dan, that it's not just afflicting Jerome Sage Butler, it's afflicting our world. We think this drive we have for everything is so important. We don't even sit in a moment just to feel good, that we forget that our body, our being can make us feel good. We don't have to put a substance in it. We don't have to go running 5 miles. We don't have to be in fire towers for a day. We can just sit down, relax, and be free enough, detach from all your cell phones and all your attachments and the features, and just realize that there's so much things. You might see a cat try to get up a tree to catch the chase a lizard, like in Jamaica, and might slip, and you might see the cat slip and drop, and you're like, okay, wow, back on his feet. That's laughter. Hallelujah. There's so much things. You know, seeing your children just smile off their face, and you don't know what it is. Because they don't need something to laugh. You know, these are things we're forgetting, but they're valuable and they're salient, you know. We need to return to laughter. And, you know, that's just my word today, and that's my encouragement, you know, to get back to lightheartedness.
True. I'd like to add some, to supercharge the conversation, Jerome Sage, with some of the teachings of King Solomon, who wrote in Ecclesiastes, because King Solomon was an extremely wealthy man. He was a man who professed prophetic spirit. He was a king of Israel. He had many wives, and he had more than one child, of course, with so many women. But towards the end of his life, he started to reflect back, and he has some information that I think it's very important, because I think, John says, people get a little too uptight when they want to become spiritual. And King Solomon is basically one of the portions of Ecclesiastes. He's telling people, relax. There's another way to look at things. So I'm just going to be reading from chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, and then Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. Is it not good for man that he eats and drinks and shows his soul satisfaction in his labor? And even that I perceive is from the hand of the Creator. For who should eat and who should make haste except me? To the man he pleases, he gives him wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner he has given the urge to gather and amass, that he may give it over to one who is pleasing to Creator. That too is futility and vexation of the spirit. And one of the commentaries mentioned, if I understand, King Solomon projects out, if all my property will eventually go to others, then I might as well look at my possessions now as a gift from the Most High and get involved and perform spiritual deeds then with them while I'm still alive. But then by chapter 13, verse 4, while on the one time King Solomon reminds us there will be a time to weep, he says, there's a time to laugh. Now, this is not just human wisdom, Jerome Sage, and blessed souls out there. This is a prophetic teaching. There is a place, even from our Torah, our Bible, I don't like to call it the Old Testament, I call it the Eternal Testament. There is a place for laughter in the creation. King David wrote in Psalms, I think it's, Jimmy said 137, he talks at the time of the redemption, that at that point, he mentions, I'm just turning to the page here, not 137, but he mentions, Azimal Eschok Pino, then our mouths will be filled with laughter. So we see there is an ancient mandate that part of living as a human and to be spiritual, which is really should be a primary drive in people's lives, but there's room for laughter. There's time to take a break. There was a teacher, Rav Drum Sage, that Rava, that he would start with a joke to loosen up his students, then he would go into the teaching of the law. So we see on various levels. I haven't come across teachings where, say, there's a joke from Moses or David, because maybe those jokes would have been so high we would never stop laughing. The true power of their spirituality. But I think it's a very important point, because I notice some people, especially people from Sage, who come back later in life into their spirituality. We call them Baal Tshuva in our culture, people who are returning to the Creator, who didn't live the most wholesome or right type of lives, and they had that they become overly pious. And you know, I think you have an expression from Jamaican language, like a screw face. They become like just the opposite of what they wanted to become. They become too overly zealous. Relax, take it easy. You know, one of the things that I learned from my teachers, and I had very, very spiritual teachers, is there's always room to say something funny. I mean, we don't become a barroom of laughter, but in the middle of conversations, funny things come out. I'll give you an example. This is something I learned last week. I think you'll enjoy it. So every night when Eve would come home to Adam, as we know that Eve was formed from the rib of Adam. So every night she would check her ribs to see if there was a missing rib, because if there was a missing rib, she figured Adam got another wife.
yes, true. That's a good one. The ladies, let me check it every night, too. That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
That's lighthearted bliss. Laugh about our most fundamental process of thought about ourselves. It's nice. And also, you know, you go to, and sometimes people say they go dancing, you know, and then, you know, they say, well, they drink. I think the drinking was like a way to induce the laughter, because I think that they've gotten so wound up, you know, the screw face, as you say, they've gotten so wound up that they could not really just, you know, absorb the moment and feel the value of the moment. So I'm really thinking the truth is, that's why a lot of people be drinking to try to like, be getting a buzz, so they couldn't get a little bit more lighthearted. But, I mean, because a little wine, it make up the spirit glad. I mean, that's also, you know, in the world as well, too. So, essentially, sometimes, because we have a master little dross on the mirror, you know, the essence is that we need to polish it and, you know, get to see the true resonant picture. And laughter, definitely, you know, and happiness in its core is about cleaning our mirrors of the dross and all of that which we've accumulated because of our fears. But it's so interesting. There's also a word that says there's a time and a place for everything. So I wouldn't say be laughing your head off every moment of the day, as you say also. I think it relates to the fact that there are moments where laughter is necessary to clear the blockages. You know, it's like a clearance from the palate so that the taste that comes next can be 100% felt and resonant. So laughter clears, you know, your old emotional palate, so that really and truly what would have been otherwise sorrowful, painful, hurtful can be approached with, you know, a little bit of peace and love and a willingness to change or to attract a better outcome. I'm thinking, like, as I said, when I was at the port with like the school face mentality or the shock mentality, I got less done. But when I went back with the joyful, and not that I wasn't mannerable to the people before, I was just a bit more apprehensive. But when I got a little bit more clear in my spirit, that a little more joy would have helped me. I was far more happier with everyone, and everyone was far more happier with me. It's like everyone was working in tandem to see that the outcome of my desire be made manifest. And I think that is how happiness really helps us. I think someone needed to have broken it down for a lot of us because we don't see. Because what happens is that people say, okay, we are here, we go to a store, we go to a shop, we go to a mall, we go somewhere to purchase something, and we say, well, okay, this clerk, this person, doesn't matter what color, is obligated actually to serve us, to make us
That's
feel
right.
good that we're spending all this money to buy all this clothing. And so we take up a rotten attitude. Matter of fact, I'm not just saying that philosophically. A lot of people take up a rotten attitude when they go to purchase stuff and how they treat the clerks, right? But yet still, there are some people, and we notice this, right? When they come into the store, it doesn't matter their color again, because it's beyond racism. When certain people come into the store, you notice all the clerks are attentive to that person, and it's not just because they're profiling them because they're black. It's because there's something different about that customer versus all the customers. It starts with the self. There is a happy mood when the customer comes in. And whether that customer leaves out with $500 worth of purchase, or they just actually came by to say hi because they were on the mall or on the block, that person brought joy. So here is the benefit of happiness. Number one, you go there, you don't feel like you're entitled, but that entire store, the department, whether it's your local hardware store or your local department so you can get anything, everyone from department A down to department Z will know you. Everyone, whether they met you or not, from they say, Don Goodman stuff, Don Goodman stuff, man, I'm going to take care of this now. That's Don. They never met Don. But your name coming down that grapevine says, oh, Don is such a nice person. Laugh my head off. Felt so good when I was around him. So happiness does greater for the human condition than anything else. So those who are entitled to the money thinking, I spend $1,000 here, they have no respect for me. But you had no respect for them. Matter of fact, you had no joy to share with them. And that's what it comes down to. But there's nothing else, really. Because if you're in a happy state, you take the happy energy everywhere you go. And that happiness becomes, is it contagious? I think Taurus Riley had a song in reggae that says, love is contagious. I don't know if it's original, but I mean, I'm sure the idea isn't original, that
All cultures are
beautiful. Happiness is contagious.
Yeah.
Yes. So if we can spark that happiness to just be good and just be present, loving the moments of our life, appreciate the things in our life, then when we go out to dinner, then we won't have to say, we tipped the waiter because we got great service. But rather, you got great service because you are such a nice person. Not because you tipped the waiter, right?
True.
Because one would have had to come first. So the essence of it is that this is real happiness and this is how joy permeates our lives when we allow it. And I think Solomon in his great wisdom knew that no matter how much you possess, happiness is like that little, what would you call the energy, that can flow through all that you have and still make you feel present. Because we are oftentimes so wrapped up in what we have. We think that's happening. And then we realize we're just as dense and as dry as someone saying, well, I spend so much money here, you should respect me, versus the little old lady that is always so nice. And 100 people will get up to help her just to get out of her car. And people say, it's because she's nice. She's happy. She's full of love. And that joyful energy is permeating. So people are happy to share that. So joy and happiness isn't philosophical. Solomon has done something. It fills the soul, clears the palette of thoughts and processes and procedures, so you can just look across and smile at the person shopping in the line, shopping in the checkout line. I mean, I was telling Archie about 3 weeks ago, I was in the supermarket, and there was two elder ladies. One was in front of me and one was extremely in front of me, two persons down. So the one that was in front of me, she was, we were all in the line for about 25, 30 minutes. And she was beginning to get agitated, And she was saying to me, oh, my God, I can't wait to get home because, I got my dinner to go and prepare, and I didn't really want to come in the shop. But look at this line. So we're there and, sharing a lighthearted moment. And then there was this older lady, who her stuff was ahead of us in the line, but we didn't see her, right? And she just comes skipping down. She's got a drink that she's drinking, and she just got this smile on her face. So she just looks like the perfect target for this lady's agitation, right? Because we always get along fine. So she goes, points to her, and she says, could you hurry it up? No, the lady could have gotten really angry, but that changed the entire mood. The lady turned and said, hello, my dear. You know a thing called wait your turn. Have you heard of that one? You got to wait your turn. The whole store ignited in laughter. We could not help it. Because we knew, That was a beautiful moment. I laughed. And that's how life is. There are those agitating moments where we can get a tad bit of time. But the right comments at the right time that breaks everything. And, you know, these are the things that I think are some of the greatest values, that it costs nothing. You know, all it takes is nothing just to be present and allow.
True, true. And it's serious. What about the idea of fun? Now, if I recall, Jerome Sebs, you, I don't know if you're actively involved, but at one time you were running or involved with an art studio. Now, obviously, art is a fun thing, but the profound nature of art is that a person has pictures something in their mind, he or she, and then given the materials they're given, whether it be clay for pottery or for with pastels or paints or
yes.
magic markers, even crayons, I'm sure you've witnessed many a person has walked in all stressed out and just doodling. And maybe the first doodle was just something just impromptu, and maybe, you know, you share with them or they share with you what it reflected. And then maybe they came back for the next session. All of a sudden, they're making very profound art. But it started with just some mindless activity which put a smile on their face. So sometimes we have to,
sure.
if we're going to move in that spiritual realm, I mean, for instance, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be going away to a very beautiful part of the state of Pennsylvania. It's called the Poconos. The place is very, it's such a calm, mellow place that they don't even put locks on the doors for the hotel rooms. Most hotels, you know, of course, you get a card, a key, whatever. Here, it's so out in nature, they trust everyone, will, you know, will respect everyone's property, and there's all sorts of activities. So I, as one of the counselors, I signed up for art, and I signed up for other things, you know, exercise and that, and walking and swimming and everything. But so I wrote to the person, one of the organizers, listen, real men do art. A real man does art, because when I do the art with some of my clients, male and female, they find it, you know, very interesting, because I do look the way I do, and not everyone looks the way I do in this group of people. But I told them, hey, this is fun. And you know, we have conversations which I think make the bond stronger for the rest of the year, as opposed to me, I'm also being asked to teach some Torah down there for 3 days for like 15-minute sessions. And again, I'm not going to be, you know, Mr. Fire and Brimstone. Make it light. Make it human. You know, we are human beings. We're not supposed to be angels. Some human beings, the really holy prophets, they have those angelic qualities,
yes.
because they're so in sync with the divine code of creation. But for the rest of us, got to take it easy a little bit, you know where we stand. At the same time, too, I just want to, I'm bringing in the Psalms 100 from King David. What is being asked with us? A song of thanksgiving, call out to Creator, all the earth, serve Creator with gladness, come before him with joyous song. Not bitter,
yes.
sad, you know, I'm putting
yes.
on sackcloth and ashes. No, because know that Creator, he is our God, he is the one who made us, and we are his, we're his nation and sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for Creator is good. His kindness endures forever, from generation to generation is his faithfulness. Now, I as a human being, and for, this is a message for all human beings, how can we not happy to know the prophet's telling us the kindness of Creator is enduring, it's forever. So why don't we connect to the grid of kindness, Jerome Sage, to encourage people. Come before him. I don't care if you
yes.
sing like Bob Marley, if you sing like you sound like an opera singer in the shower, which is basically how I sound. I run stage. I don't know how good I would be, but it's good enough for me in the shower. You know?
It's absolutely true, you know, Brother Dan, in terms of like, yeah, you know, when we get so, you know, intense and pious, you know, and then we can't really relax, so, you know, we get so withdrawn that we can't really see the beauty of creation. And as the psalm says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. So the essence coming for the Lord is gladness. You understand? It's a thing that we have forgotten, that there's a joy in the human soul. And the joy of the divine presence is what comes across to us as the feeling of being filled with the Holy Spirit, as some people say in certain traditional religion and viewpoints, maybe Old Testament and a little bit of the New Testament as well too, that people know that there's a presence, there's a vibration that come with your devotion. And it's true, we aren't the angels, and yet they are very angelic human beings who are, as you say, in sync with the divine law. And the essence of it is that also their experience unto us is a joy too. because it truly brings a splendor to the soul, where we can be replenished and truly be resonant. So part of happiness is that you have the functionality of your biology. That when a person is, like, say, sick and withdrawn, you know, laughter is the furthest thing from their mind. But yeah, in a moment, to see a smile on the face of someone who otherwise is hurting, it shows that there's a sublimity, a God quality, hallelujah, in our reality. And the God quality, we have words that define a practice, a function, or a manifestation of these godlike qualities. And laughter is. Laughter is that amazing quality. And as we try to use art and the therapy through heart, as you were saying, in organic hearts, we really encourage people to really express whatever the original emotion is that is on your mind, your heart at the time. Put it on the canvas. So as you say, some of the first doodles wouldn't really be like they are, you know, filled with the depth and meaning, but what they are filled with is just the desire to make that first move, to make that first cause. And as such, it is something that when you go back years later to your first cause of breaking out of the depression and the confusion, you'd recognize that when you painted that first piece of work or art, or you carved that first sculpture, what you're really doing was setting a template and a precedent. And years later, like with my clients, I recognize that, and I must clear on this, because sometimes I say this and I think maybe the things that I'm saying that they are to be arty. I feel that in the spirit. But these people are transformed through art, because art is not an abstraction from life. Art is some of the processes of the divine expression. So what it does is gives the soul a chance to appear. The conjurings we do, call ambitions, call, you know, our own mental and psychological processes, those cause the greatest harm. So what art does is give you a chance to go beyond that constructed notion of your reality. So these people, after they've completed their techniques, they're not artists by profession. What they have done is found an outlet, a means by which happiness enters their reality, or is fulfilled in their reality through a particular function and a particular process. Because when I was very melancholy and sad, you know, in my dark days, when I took up painting, I recognized that I felt better. As a matter of fact, that's why I put it in my program, because I recognized that I literally felt better, because remember, I was already a performing artist, I danced, I sang, so I'm saying I was limited in the desire towards expression. But when I realized that painting was my healing source, I said to myself, isn't this interesting? I wasn't on the path of godliness or God at the time, or clarity in my self-perception, but it still was something amazing. I was like, wow, this really made me feel better. Literally made me feel better. So I recognize that when I'm putting forward this, it's not something that I'm saying because I am an artist in Jamaica, this is a colloquial way of survival, actually. It is a genuine expression, genuine godliness that is coming through as art, as laughter, as happiness. It's a present. And all we ought to do is not confuse ourselves so as not to be able to access this beautiful present.
True. We have, and in terms of another expression of fun and it's good cardiovascular exercise, is dance, Drum Sage. Now, there is a teacher, Rabbi Nachman. He lived from 1772 to went to the next level of life in 1810. He was very much involved in trying to help his brothers and sisters, and it's an instruction for the human family experience, to avoid feeling depressed. And his simple advice was, get up and dance. He said to picture as if the Satan is on the floor and stomp on his head. Drive him away. Because if not, the evil within ourselves or the evil forces outside of ourselves will drag us down to a point where, as we have the Hasidim have a teaching that while being sad is not a sin, it's the doorway to doing everything that's wrong. Because once a person feels sluggish and they feel stuck in something, like they're stuck in the mud, or like they've been covered in honey, and the bees are coming to sting them, but by moving and dancing and stomping and jumping, it has an amazing effect, not just on the cardiovascular, but the psyche of a human being. And this is a Torah teaching. Dance if you're feeling sad, your take on this matters.
Ah, beautiful. I love it. Because when you dance, the heart gets glad. Lightness and happiness fills the soul. Let's take it on an electromagnetic level. You are sending subtle vibrational energy to your entire being. And as the heart gets more blood pumping throughout the body, and the emotions are sending more frequencies of, you know, joy, of feeling good, of letting go, and that flow, it increases the presence, it increases the ability for one to function at the highest level. So dance not only physiologically improves you, but it emotionally, psychologically improves you, because number one, you're a healthy body, healthy being, being functional, breathing properly, getting all that clear, strong air to the brain. That means you're having better thoughts, very highly oxygenated air to the brain. So you're getting clarified thoughts. Emotionally, you are balanced because you're feeling good because all this flow of energy through the body. Our great teachers, the Rebbe's and the great Rabbanai, had been our guiding post because they had shown us that the intensity of our activities through word had to be lightened by just a simplicity, a flow, something that is so unique that it's everywhere but not always accessed. I think sometimes after great sorrow, there comes great laughter because they are not necessarily the greatest twins, but they are paired because they appear together a lot. So for people who are morbidly depressed, that twin is separated and might not be visiting as often. So my advice to those who are, I would say, so intensely depressed, towards a little happiness, I would say get to a place where there's some sunlight, warm, strong, intense sunlight, where you can get clean, strong, healthy air, sense of nature, all the cacophonies of sweet and sour, bitter, and all the different scents woven together intensely, filling the nostrils as the sun heat penetrates your very being. It is so interesting. Our endorphins, our serotonin is released just through that process of getting some sun into the body, getting a little exercise, walking a little, twisting a little, you know, jigging a little. Maybe you're not so happy to be jigging. For people who are morbidly depressed, need to go walking, need to get some sunlight, get some tone into that pale skin, get some energy into your pupils, into your retina. Let the sun shine on your forehead, onto your pituitary, and allow a little bit of a cosmic radiance to return you to a happy state. Life is of no value if you're not happy, because happiness is the template. It's upon which all things will have value and have valor and have value.
I wish to share with you, Ramses, it's not just from the Rabbanai or the rabbis that I learned joy. I mean, even before I connected to my Torah roots in a very real fashion, it was Barb Marley said, get up and dance. Lively up yourself. Get up and dance. And when I was a little boy in 1964, I think, to about 1966, you had in Queens, New York, it's something called the World's Fair. And my parents, there actually was a video. Back then it was regular 8. I don't know if you have a regular 8mm filming. And my father actually filmed me dancing to the Watusi from African dancers. So even before, from my own culture, I was dancing. So it was always something. And there are many videos of me of a small child just dancing just joyously. Little did I know that it would be transformed then through the reggae music and then Jewish music. And today I'm still a fan. In my education, in Torah education, one of my teachers said, you don't throw rocks from the wellspring you drank from. So I can never publicly criticize, you know, the reggae music. I praise the musicians. I hope they'll keep it in the positive, you know, because there have been some negative influences.
Yes,
just like
true.
There's been some negative influence in the Jewish music. You know, there are people that really, you know, as Mikey Nichols is one of the, he produces a nice young man down in Jamaica, my name is David Luther King. He went to Midan.
Yes,
there are There's the message and the messengers. And sometimes the messengers who deliver the message aren't real messengers, but they're delivering a message. But someone say like Bob Marley, who you could see the man danced joyously, unabashedly, without any consideration of this. I mean, I think he set the tone, and that was really the template. And that's why today, at the end of today's program, in about 20 minutes to go, you see that his music is elevated to the point, not that it needed that type of elevation, but to show how transnational his music is, that it was used in the process of either before or at the end of the Nobel Peace Prize. So Bob Marley music went from wherever shantytown or whatever small village or farming area in Jamaica to what some would consider, not necessarily in my eyes, but some would say the highest apex of human achievement, the Nobel Peace Prize, because I think you just can't give it to one person. There's so many people who are promoting peace who should be prized. Well, they'll be, when the Most High comes in the day of redemption, everyone will get a Nobel Peace Prize according to their efforts.
most noble brother, because, you know, the joy and the laughter that comes and the kind of experiences that music provokes in our subconscious, we could not say of happiness or joy and not mention music, you know. And Bob Marley's music, you know, especially, you know, the songs of redemption and so many other songs, the One Love, the Millennium Song by, you know, several, you know, reputable institutions and, you know, houses, media houses have said that, you know. So the essence of it is that Bob Marley's intention with bringing clarity to Africans, Jamaicans, and to the people across the world was brought with a fervor of, you know, of one love. That's what permeated the Rastaman's argument. And as you say, even though the messenger and the message has been transfixed or transposed to something else, that the messenger is carrying a message, but they are not one with the message that they're carrying. We understand that dichotomy. But we know that within it all, as you say, the positive influence of reggae music making you dance like incredibly as a child, and your father recording that was a joy to his heart as well. Because what was happening is that your joy and his joy had lasted. And that moment of recording it, now as you are in an older state of your life, more further along in your maturity, you can then look back at that and spark a joy of your own being. Now that's still somewhere inside of you. And even if you might not be as lighthearted because of years of experiences, but still you can still strike that chord to sway and move, just like the reggae music promotes, as long as the heart, you know, is in the right place. And we understand, you know, again, music really does help to promote, soothe, and continue the process of joy and happiness in our psyche. The great teachers of old, they knew this, and the great rebbes, as you said, has also written, you know, music and mantras, and, you know, pieces of, you know, works that would really point us to that direction, to remind us that, hey, listen, life has its complexes. It gets a way to unravel, not be caught up, and be drawn into the depths of those complexes. It's to laugh it away, sing and dance it away. And there's not that much drive in the mass sense towards maintaining that. But still, some people call it niche market. Some people call it, you know, a special grouping or, you know, a unique crew. But there's still people who are promoting positive music on all fronts, still putting joy in the music, not making it commercial, but making it really universal. And that's what we love, that we can still be singing about our hearts, not just, you know, what we want or what we think we need, but as long as our music, our thoughts, our artwork can spark that joy in us, there will be someone who will be transformed. You know, as you say, when you start the process with those kids and you take them on the camp and you go to a different place, to a community where they don't even lock their doors in terms of these hotels, you say, you know, Vulcan, right? The essence of it is that there is a connection that is still in people, that it might not be everywhere, but some people are manifesting that happiness as a lifestyle, and it has fashioned a quiet environment where they feel safe and they feel at peace. And these things are, you know, quantifiable as a happy life. And Yah wants us to have a happy life.
Amen. Springing order for your comments, Drum Sage, I haven't been to Jamaica yet, hopefully one day. I mean, I've seen video after video of it, of, say, like Naya Bingi Drunging, where brothers and sisters get together. And it's just, it seems, it's structured, but yet it seems very spontaneous. Can you talk about that? And, you know, what is it like? I'm assuming you participate in such ceremonies or gatherings or concerts. You know, we don't have to wait online 5 hours to get a ticket or go online. And what is the feeling before, as people are coming together, in the middle of the performance, and afterwards? It's spiritual, it's cultural, it's educational, and it's a lot of fun. So can you talk about those experiences? For many people who are listening have never seen a video or, interacted. I mean, still there's a portion of our listening audience who haven't even, interacted with Rastas, who just exude out, as you would say, liberty, which, we of Israel try to do as well. It comes in different, but it's really the same type of liberty. Can you comment on that, the idea of the Naya Binkin drumming experience, gathering of for the greater good?
Totally, totally. And I understand, that some people would not necessarily be exposed to the more traditional part of it, because remember Bob Marley took, the message, and being a messenger, the message was always so vast, and he was such a short time with us giving that message. So there are still other portions that were yet not captured. But Naya Binkin, is like the ceremony that basically would be our spiritual defense or, sense of affirmation for our brothers and our sisters who are seeking, as we would say, Rastafari way, our cultural way, our ancient way, a way to keep the family together without causing us to splinter. So first before the event happens, I can be honest, many times I see that people can be intend to distract it. Because before the drumming begins and before the chanting and before the fire, what usually happens is that each Rastaman, each person that is in the dinghy, is usually in their own mental space. Like you're thinking about your job, the hustle you made today. And hustle for us in Jamaica has no negative connotation. It just means work outside a systematic structure. It's not illegal. It's nothing crappy. It's nothing disingenuous. So I know hustle in American terminology can be different. But let me just be very clear. So whatever you have sleep, you've got, you went to your farm or you went into the wild country, you got some mangoes, and you go to the market and you sell them and you make a quick couple of $100 to make on a couple of thousand, stuff like that, you call it a hustle, right? So they're usually thinking about your hustle, your day, what you're going to eat tomorrow, or your baby mother's going to be fed, or your kid's going to go to school. You think about the news, you think about black culture, so they're usually scattered in their minds, right? Everybody in their little corner. But once the priest, who themselves have to put themselves in a state that they have to isolate themselves a little from the people, take a moment and, smoke up their herbs and unify their thoughts or unify their hearts, or at least as much as they humanly can. And the moment that drum sounds out, that repeater sounds out, right, and that pattern, we say it's one, two, heartbeat. But this is why I think Baladan mentions the drum, because I don't think people understand this. Naya Binkin drums, reggae drums, are based upon the 1-2 pattern of your heartbeat. So we say it's live music. So then once we begin on that repeater, and then the funde, and then the real bass drum boom, comes in, you understand it? That sound begins to resonate. You see that the people's hearts are all beginning to slowly come into one alignment, right? And as the biggie begins to fire up, as the spirit moves upon the fingers, upon the skins of the drums, the sound frequency begins to inhabit everyone. People begin to move. Chants of Jah, Rastafari, Rastafari. The energy begins to release. People begin to forget about their moments and what was happening today and last week. And they begin to feel the frequency. And then the princess and the empress begin to dance, they begin to whirl and loosen up some of the stuff they have wrapped around their shoulders because they want to move now. You understand? And the energy and the essence begins to flow. So by that time, in the middle of the dinghy, people are far more solemn, reverent, and looking more into their cosmic selves, right? It's really an interesting thing to see. People and their marijuana, their herbs, they're just like almost like transcendental, almost like they're levitating, as some would really say they are. And that joy would tend to slowly increase to its highest point, but it wouldn't just explode corona. It would slowly slow down. It wouldn't come all the way down, because what would be in the atmosphere is still such a permeance that you're going to have a few people now who go back into the early mindset, but not as it was, but more intense, to clarify, like They'll be like, you know, whatever they feel they need to do, they're going to do it. And they'll be like, yeah, next tomorrow I have to do this, and there's certain things I got to do to make some money, or, you know, I got to go see my child. It's like they're empowered, right? So now they talk different. From the simplest mind to the most aggressive mind, it's like, oh, we're going to beat down Babylon. We're going to crush the system and destroy the beast. Celestia on fire. The heart is free. Mm-hmm. It's like lightning unto people being drunken, but not drunken with lust or with some kind of toxin, but drunken with a joy that people just come up to you and start bless you. You know, we're not necessarily all hugging people, but, you know, they come up and bless me, my Empress, heart, I love you, King, respect me. It's more happy because they're free, right? If you previously walked there and didn't know if you're going to find a ride from there, believe me, you're going to find a ride back home. And all you have to be is as free as they are in your heart to find that person. You're going to find that person. Just be happy, and you express that you're going this way, that it might be 30 miles away you're going. And you hear somebody answer and say, wait, maybe you're going that way. But you know, that's where you're going to, you know. I'm going that way, and you don't want to ride. They offer you. You don't want to ride, man. This thing changes because this music, this heartbeat, this telegraphic message that comes through the rhythm, the synchronicity of heart, of putting your cares upon the beat, letting it flow itself to repeat and to replete and to complete healing is what the music is about. Move your soul, it gives you a chance to release your fears, your anger, your anguishes, and then just see your fellow brothers and sisters, no matter the color, no matter the class, no matter the creed, as one. And you can find that harmony, and you can find that reason to get up and do it again the next time they say they're going to do it, because you feel that recharge, or that intense drive in your spirit made you happy, made you laugh, made you dance all night with the fire. You see those Rastaman, they're locked almost touching the ground, and people would say, but how is he going to move? Well, come to a Bindi. And you see that Rastaman is not just a Bob Marley image with the shoulder length locks or slashing in the air. You need to see some real ancient Congo natives with his ear almost touching the ground, and see him flash that and shake that and move on the cosmic timing. It's beautiful. Absolutely.
Beautiful. And, you know, it's the embracing of life, embracing of the Creator's empowerment of people to come together, and really, I mean, we talk about fun. There's nothing more fun than unity and oneness. I mean, when hearts are separated, it as you know, Bob saying, you know, everyone thinks his burden is the heaviest, but if we all come to a common agreement, we all have burdens, but we can go beyond our burdens. I think one of our teachers taught us, let me just pull it out of the cobwebs of my mind, that why do you think Creator doesn't have a solution that is greater than your problem? Meaning, don't think your problem is greater than the solution that's waiting to be implemented into your personal life. And once it happens once and twice and three times and various times in the cycle of life, and King Solomon identified in that portion of Ecclesiastes, which I'm not going to read the full thing, but people can see themselves in chapter 3, there are 28 general periods in a person's life. It doesn't mean one period has to dominate over the other. And I know I would just mention one teaching that he meant a time to rend and a time to sow. Now, I personally experienced that in the year 2016. My father passed on, of blessed memory, of Shlomo Yaakov, son of Chuna David. And so I actually, before the burial of the body, we actually make a cut into one of our nice suits as a reminder that there's something beyond the materiality. And the next year, we were involved in buying the dress to my daughter's wedding. So there was the time to rend. And then the next year was the time to sow or to mend. And so if we are meritorious to live so many X amount of years with the Most High's blessings, we should not be surprised. We shouldn't cause depression. Pain is a positive catalyst. And if you can just briefly talk about Drum Sage, your perspective, pain is a catalyst for growth. Sadness and depression, unfortunately, are like, you know, tying an anchor to our leg, being thrown out into the middle of the sea and expected to swim back to shore safely. Your take on pain is, we've got a couple more minutes and then we can wrap up today's program.
Well, pain is really an indication that you're alive. And the way in which you are alive is not the best way you ought to be alive. So pain is really an indication that life is here, how the life is present in you, is this harmony. But because of the pain, it is like the alert system. It is saying to you, hello, you are a sentient being, and as such, here it is, I'm speaking to you in a language of emotion to explain to you there are discordance in your being. And as such, all I can say to you is until you have restored harmony and balance, I will be your signal that there is this harmony, that there is need for harmony. So pain as a catalyst for harmony, for healing, for joy, I can see. I can see that we don't need to go seeking out pain as a motivation, like thrill seekers who do crazy stuff, but no. Actually, the emotional nature of adapting to many circumstances, what it does to the psyche of individuals is sometimes very painful. And as we try to adjust and yet keep our sense of all these roles that changes based upon a few years of life, that's first you're a kid, then you're a toddler, then you're a teenager, then you're an adolescent, then you're a teenager, then you're a young adult, then you know what I mean? And all these different expectations that changes with it, they bring pain. And when you are, let's say, as people say, a teenager, but acting like an adolescent, there are repercussions in how you're treated by your parents. And so there is always this adjustment we have to make. So pain is an indicator to us that says, hey, this ain't the right way to be doing this. This ain't the right way to be. But here, note by me saying this, you got to go and do the right thing. Because that's what's going to make you happy. That's what's going to make the joy flow through the realities again. That's what's going to make you laugh your head off at your mistakes and your own stupidity. That you won't be so self-judging, mental. Rather, you'll be so free in your spirit, you laugh. Laugh at yourself. Laugh at the hurts and the pain, because they have all brought you to where you are. And where you are is an awesome place to feel that happiness, just like you felt the pain, permeate your entire being so you can know what joy is. Not just a word in English spelled J-O-Y. It was something. Joy is also spelled L-O-V-E. It is also spelled for a man, W-I-F-E-I-G-I-R-L-F-R-I-E-N-D. Right? So those things are where joy manifests. And if we can just be clear enough, we will appreciate. Yes, and for the W-O-M-A-N or M-A-N-H-U-S-B-A-N-G, is also joy and happiness. So we want to keep it balanced, right? So we are happiness and joy for each other. The pains of life that brings us together causes us to be happy, causes us to share our happiness through our pains and be together even better. Blissful we are.
Jerome Sedge, I'd like to thank you again for coming on today's program with your well-rounded, and I barely prepared Jerome Sedge, but I shared a promo with him last night, and he prepared beautifully in a spontaneous fashion. I was a little less spontaneous, but also I thought put together a nice eclectic collaboration today. Jerome Sedge, before we sign off, please tell our blessed listening audience how they can support your efforts so you can grow and go from 10,000 people who have subscriptions to Sela Media to 100 million and even a billion. Tell them how they can collaborate with you.
Well, blessings. Well, you can go on YouTube and subscribe to Sela Media, and that is S-E-A-L-A-M-E-D-I-A, Sela Media. We have a donate charity on our page where you can actually PayPal us or just offer a donation to our cause. That's to help with the functionality, the productivity, so we can, basically be transported to the places we want to do our shoots and be able to, function as a very good group of young Jamaican males searching, finding the Christ-like behaviors and connecting to great souls like Brother Dan and so many others across the world, Sister Ruth Del Santos. I mean, there's so many people who really are in connections and keeping the vibe, so you can contact us. See the medium YouTube or Jerome Sedge Butler on Facebook, Instagram. You can inbox me. and now we can take it from there. My numbers are also on the Sila Media page. And of course, you know, from your link to Baba Dan as well too, you know, you'll find a way to find me. So I mean, just continue to support, you know, Block Talk Radio, Baba Dan, support all who are really helping to bring some clarity and love and some joy into our collective reality.
Amen. I'll add, Jerome says that our listeners can also help support your efforts and those who are collaborating with you by going to https://teespring.com/stores/Sila-media, where you have a hoodie you can purchase, which talks about the tree, which promotes the idea of Tree of Life, Let's Have a Reason, or a T-shirt, or a poster.
Yes.
Let's suppose we're going to end today's program with, as I mentioned early in the program, that Bob Marley music, not that it needed the elevation, but it's to elevate those who will be listening to it. This was at the 2017 Nobel Peace Prize ceremony. A young man by the name of John Legend, who I'll be honest with you, I did not hear of him before, but he does a wonderful piano rendition of Redemption Song. Before we end, I just want to remind everyone that Jerome Sage has got to be good. I've got to be good. We all got to be good because the nature of the good to do good, the Creator, the Almighty One, is the source of our goodness. Let's access our DNA to live a life of joy, not sadness, not a life of depression, but one of gladness. And we have that power. We just have to want it. Where your mind is, where you are, and where your mind will be for the next 4 minutes, 15 seconds, will be John Lennon. Not John Lennon, John Legend, who is going to become a legend in his own time by performing a rendition like this, Redemption Song, by the Rasta prophet Bob Marley. Take care, everyone.
Blessings. Won't you help to sing?